Hi, good morning, everybody. All right, so I'm going to talk today about parents pushing back health promotion in a Web 2.0 world, and if you are so inclined, you could follow me on Twitter at PublicHealthy. I have no relationship to disclose in this presentation for today. And we all know that for at least the past 100 years, public health professionals have delivered the latest scientific information to improve health outcomes for infants. And so these expert medical recommendations have ranged from the modernization of bottle feeding to what are sort of considered questionable practices, like sun baths, to the truly life-saving efforts of polio vaccines. But today, parents have more access to a wide range of health information. And in a Web 2.0 world, information is being interpreted critically by parents. So for instance, here is an example from Pinterest. If you guys know what Pinterest is, it's a social media site, and it's actually the number three social media site for women after Facebook and Twitter. And so this is a pin board that looks at that's dedicated to anti-vaccines. So this is encouraging parents to just say no to vaccines. So sort of a difference we see from our encouraging polio recommendation. And when it comes to efforts to reduce infant mortality, the Back to Sleep campaign, which started in 1994, is considered one of the most successful public health campaigns around maternal child health. And it's contributed to reducing sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, by 50% by recommending the supine or back position over the baby sleeping in the prone or stomach position. Recently, public health promotion messages for infants have to cut through the noise by presenting stark images, like this one, to prevent suffocation due to bed sharing from the Milwaukee Department of Health last year. So public health messages are faced with a challenge, the public. What do the public do? Well, sometimes they push back. They push back to the messages that are presented to them, especially around infant maternal child messages. Parents are openly questioning messages that they receive about infant care. And this is an example from the site Urban Baby that I discovered in 2005 when I was starting this research about how parents are reacting to the Back to Sleep campaign, and in particular in online communities. And so you see that this is a question that a parent posts about how to put their babies to sleep, and actually asking about when the highest risk factor is for SIDS. And the responses are, you know, people are responding back, but you also have a response that says, I know I'm bad, but my son would only sleep on his belly. So at 2 months, the pediatrician said it was okay since he had good head control. And someone responds back, said, I did the same thing, and my son sleeps through the night. And we see that this is actually still happening. So this is a Facebook post from 2012 where the poster asks a question about the prone versus supine position or how to put their baby to sleep. And, you know, responders say everything from, my baby slept on their bellies and they're fine. And, the human race somehow survived before the Back to Sleep campaign. And so the idea is that these messages are starting to challenge and question these campaigns that have been considered to be successful and really are representing to parents the most up-to-date or information about preventing infant deaths. So this non-adherence to infant sleep safety messages has actually led to an increase in this lack of progress around back to sleep and bed sharing messages for parents. And so bed sharing is actually a common practice that rates have been increasing in the United States, and the rates of infant sleeping in the supine position has actually stalled over the last 10 years. So we see that parents, the progress that public health is making in terms of getting parents to respond to these campaigns is not having as much of an effect as it used to. The reasons for non-adherence have been studied by many researchers and usually have to do around the areas of parents' knowledge, attitude, and practices. But in particular, this presentation will examine more how parents are interpreting and negotiating health messages, in particular for infant sleep injury, to prevent infant sleep injury, I should say. So the learning objectives of this presentation are to talk about how parents are interpreting health promotion messages for their infants about bed sharing and back to sleep, to describe how parents are challenging this adherence to these health promotion messages and interpreting the messages for themselves, and to explain the differences between the parents who adhere and those who don't. So I conducted an internet survey in 2009 that looked at that was a sample of parents that's from a nationally drawn sample of over 2 million people who decided to opt in using the Zoomerang market sample, true market sample. And these are people who got an incentive for completing the survey, and the attributes for them is that they had to have children under the age of 12. So 312 respondents were considered for this survey or for this analysis, and the respondents were primarily white, female, half of them were over 40, and half of them were from 18 to 39, and over 50% of them had children under the age of 5. So what did we find? We found, well, first we dichotomized a variable about adherence, or parents going along with these recommendations to put babies to sleep on their backs, and to not bed chair, and non-adherence to those recommendations. And we found that actually most parents were adherents to the back-to-sleep message. 64% were following the recommendation versus 36% who were non-adherent. But however, we found that fewer parents were adherents to the bed-sharing message. When we looked at the relationship between adherence to back-to-sleep with measures of knowledge, their source of information, and the belief that parents had that the back-to-sleep message actually can prevent death, we found a few things that were statistically significant, and one of them is the idea of parents' knowledge about the sleep position. In other words, if they knew that the putting babies to sleep on their backs would reduce the risk of SIDS, we saw that parents were much more likely to be adherent if they were knowledgeable. Makes sense. We also saw that parents who received information from family members were less likely to be adherent, so more likely to be adherent, statistically significant. And also found that parents who, and it's that last bar that says parents who the sleep position prevents infant death, so in other words, their belief that this actual putting babies to sleep on the back would prevent SIDS, those who believed it were much more adherent, almost three times more adherent to actually following through with the message. When we looked at the relationship between bed sharing and adherence to the belief about risk of suffocation and parents' feelings about the recommendation, we had a few interesting findings. One is that parents who believed that the risk of suffocation was possible but small were much more likely to be adherent. So they were more likely to be non-adherent. In other words, if they felt the risk of suffocation was possible but small, they were less likely to be adherent to following through with the message. And we also found that when it came to their feelings about the current recommendation, the parents who felt that the recommendation was too strict for parents to follow all the time were, again, less likely to be adherent. So our findings show that the belief in the efficacy of recommendation of the belief in the efficacy of the recommendation actually influences the adherence. So in other words, parents who agreed that the recommendations to back to sleep campaign could prevent infant deaths were 2.5 times more likely to adhere. So parents' belief in that the campaign would work is what affected whether or not they were going to do it. Also, parents who believe that the risk was small to their infants around suffocation and bed sharing were less likely to adhere to the recommendation. Also, the credibility and how the advice is presented has something to do with it in terms of parents' adherence. So parents who felt that bed sharing recommendation was too strict were less likely to adhere than those who thought the recommendation was helpful. And parents who get advice from infant sleep from the family are less likely to be adherent. And again, the flip side of that is parents who get advice from a doctor are more likely to be adherent to that. If I have a minute, I'm just going to talk very briefly about the an open-ended question that I asked during the survey, too, that can help fill in some of the questions that we have from these quantitative findings. And so I analyzed the responses to this open-ended question. How do you feel about about all of the official recommendations out there to keep your baby healthy? And two main findings I'll present to you guys. So the first is that parents have problems with the quality of the information and the ways that the information is being presented. So one of their issues is that there's a lot of information. Information is overwhelming, that there's this idea of overkill, it's overboard, and again, that there's too much stuff, and this paranoia and intrusion is also sort of a sub-theme. Another thing that parents felt about the quality of the information is that the recommendations can be confusing because they change. We know with the Back to Sleep campaign that literally changed the way that babies were to be put to sleep, from their stomachs to their backs. And so the idea that these recommendations are changing, that the bed sharing recommendations are coming out and those are changing, represents a parent's confusion about the people who are giving out that information. Also, too, that the information is not always reliable. And finally, finally, that people find that individual decisions should supersede official recommendations. Parents feel that they should, that they know their child best and should make it, and that the recommendations don't allow for their personal beliefs. And so just this last quote, I agree with most, but not all is set in stone. You sometimes have to change things to work with your family and lifestyle. Not everyone is exactly the same. Each one of us is different. They're recommended practices, not the law. So in conclusion, parents did have knowledge of these recommendations, but weren't always adhering, and that, educators of infant safety should build a more open acknowledgement of parents' beliefs about the risks and how they're negotiated, and particularly in a Web 2.0 world, understanding this fluidity and with which parents are negotiating these health messages, particularly with social media, and trying to understand and to figure out how these messages work and interpret in their lives is particularly important. Great question. I mean, you know, I used to work at the health department, too, in New York City, and similarly, there is this idea that, right, we have the evidence, we have the data, we know best, right? And so the truth is that there are a lot of knowledges that are out there, right, and that there are a lot of ways that people are trying to make sense of their health and make sense of the world, and this idea of how authorities are sort of can be seen as interfering or, you know, dictating to them what to do is true, you know, it's a real thing, and I think that good health departments and good health educators are aware of that and know that going in and don't just feel that it's just like a sense of being someone, you know, it's funny when you said about adherence. Adherence is actually the softer term, like it's softer than compliance, which is sort of what people have traditionally used. So I agree. I mean, it really is this idea that you either are or you aren't. And I think that that's really the point, is where is that negotiation? Where is that place for parents to be able to sort of, in this case, parents to sort of figure out, well, what's going to work best for me and for my family? And does that ultimately mean that there is that sort of disconnect between what a public health person does and what a way that the audience in this case is sort of interpreting it? I would suggest, yeah, because it really is at the end, you know, like we say in our, you know, when we would educate people, at the end, we're not the bed police, right? We could tell people what to do, but we're not going to be in the homes, you know, as much as I'm sure some people would like to, but, you know, you're not going to be there. And so it's the idea that you have to understand where your limits are. And I think that that's really the point, is that for public health to sort of like, you know, for them, for us, the folks in public health, to really realize that there are, that there other people aren't wrong for interpreting it according to family, what they know that works, you know, for their own baby. Idea of experience, like lived experience, has that's a lot of belief, right? And not, and you know, the idea of is belief evidence, right? Is belief seeing like the numbers? You know, we found with infant sleep recommendations around bed sharing, showing pictures of death scene investigations actually helped with belief. You know, in terms of people actually seeing what are the ways that you put babies to sleep, and seeing that, oh, it's not just SIDS, we don't know what causes it, but it's suffocation. This is something blocking the baby's nose and mouth. So it's that idea of just really explaining. I think it's really the idea of belief as well. It's explaining. explaining to people in a way that they can understand, right? And it's not just do it because I said. The details and all that. I mean, I think that that's true. I mean, definitely the, you know,